Today, I want to dive into some more thoughts about the Holy Ghost. You guys ready for that? And I think Monday night, if you need that link, you let me know, because I've got that. I think that was the recording that set the stage for what we want to get accomplished here. And how many remember us talking about there are many infillings? I mean, you're baptized into the Spirit of God on many different levels. You know, the Bible talks about Jesus was sent forth to preach the gospel without measure of the Spirit. But see, you notice the key word there is measure, without measure, because other places in the Bible it talks about measures of the Spirit, measures of faith. And so when we're talking about the Spirit, I want to reemphasize something I said Wednesday night was, I think we've got the word ghost locked in our minds. And I made mention that the King James Bible is the only Bible that uses that word. Traditionally, a lot of people's going to know what that means, Holy Ghost. But the new generation, reading other versions, they're not going to know what you're talking about. Holy Ghost. Because it's referenced the Holy Spirit. The reason why, now I like the word ghost because it talks about the embodiment of someone else. Like Jesus, everybody. So like to have the Holy Ghost is the embodiment of Christ within me. But I'm fine with calling it the Holy Spirit too. You know why? Because that's what it is. It's a Holy Spirit. And what I want you to do is remember, as you think about the Holy Ghost, because that's how we've always read it in our Bible, also consider that this ghost or this spirit is not necessarily different than the Spirit of God that you already have. Did everybody hear what I just said? How many believes the Spirit of God is in you? So do you think another separate spirit's got to come and live inside of you now when you're filled with the Holy Ghost? Or is God saying there's measures to this spirit, to who I am? And so that's very important to understand. If you, from the very beginning, have the Spirit of God put in you, guess what's there too? The Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, just waiting to come forth in manifestation. Now, I'm going to explain that. I'm going to explain today, too, how it's possible that Jesus said, Keith, that the Holy Ghost was not yet given. You got to wait for that. And yet, people had the Holy Ghost. How's that work? I'm going to explain that for sure. But I want to start by saying, how many of you believe now that you have been baptized into God in some fashion? Haven't you? Okay, now, can you determine for yourself? You don't have to answer out loud, but I'm going to call some names. Like Marty, can you determine what baptisms have worked in you? You know, can you determine, Nancy, what baptisms are there? What about you, Naomi, or Amanda, Dave, Keith? What baptisms has God filled you with or put you into and you're aware of it? Because that matters, Don. If you don't know and you say, well, I've been baptized. Yeah, into what? God. Well, okay, I'll give you that one. Jesus? Okay, but see, my point is, I want you to know, because if you know, you're understanding the work of the Spirit. But see, true baptism and work began way back in Adam. Now, I want to get to that, but I want to say something too. The Bible can be ordered out by the witness of many main events. So like the day of Pentecost, was that a main event? Was that an outpouring of something brand new that the world had not seen. So Acts chapter 2 was a major experience with God. But was there other major experiences with God? Well, God created heaven and earth. That was pretty major. God created the first man. That was pretty major. You know, God flooded the earth. Was that major? What did that represent? See, every major event represents a new place in God that people need to go to. So there was a new beginning there. Then God raised up Abraham and made him a father of many nations. Oh, all of a sudden, all the failures of Adam was now going to be put into Abraham. Well, you go through the Bible and, you know, you got your first king of Israel, you got a nation born, you've got all kinds of things. But I want to get to the New Testament. After all the Old Testament, Michelle, was put out there and God said, all my people can serve me. He brought this man named Jesus and he said, the old covenant has got to change. So was Jesus being born in the world a groundbreaking experience that changed the entire history of the world? It was. So Jesus being born into the world set the stage that I'm bringing a new covenant and I'm setting up new things. The old is done. Every big event has now come to this. Anybody that is wanting to move forward in God now has to go through Jesus. I'd say that was a pretty major event, wasn't it? So Jesus is working. He's preaching his gospel. He's putting the word of God in all of us. And then he makes that statement that out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Here's the hope. God has brought me here. I am here to testify of God and the heavens and the kingdom of God. And yet, there's something else I want you to experience. And he's telling everybody, but it's not yet. Why? Do you remember why I said it Wednesday night? Because Jesus had not been glorified. What does that mean? Somebody tell me what that means. So the spirit within him had not been revealed to everybody. In other words, let me give you a good definition. I'll say a bunch of them today. A good, clean definition of the Holy Ghost is the glorified Christ living in you, where I'm going to empower you to be a witness of the resurrection. And so the reason why your tongues begin to change when the Holy Ghost is made known to you is because you are now talking from an experience with Christ in you, not just following somebody outside of you. So the Holy Ghost was going to be a big deal. For many, Jesus had not been glorified yet. What did that mean? They still saw him by the flesh. So imagine going through life just following Jesus by the flesh. I've preached that a lot, haven't I? Jesus says, there's got to come a day where I'm going to empower you to be a witness of the resurrection. Your testimony is no longer going to be of the earth. It's going to change to a heavenly tongue and a testimony of resurrection. Now, why did I bring up Ann, you specifically, Ann? Because in that meeting in Boise, your tongue changed. How could you use the word land? God healed my land. Was your physical body land? Is it land? Do you walk up to everybody, Naomi, and go, hey, how's your land? Does anybody in here do that? I saw your land at Walmart yesterday. No, you don't talk like that, because land here in the prophecies that was read in that scripture and it was about the land being a spiritual thing. Now we know the ground is he that hears, isn't it? So are you land? Are you ground? Yes, you are. That's awesome. Good soil. But the work of it, the reason why you can use language like that is because when the scripture was read to you, it did something to you that changed the way you think about yourself. Now it said, God will heal your land. That is a spiritual enlightenment that only the Spirit can give. And that's the thing we're talking about. When you're dealing with the Holy Ghost, you're dealing with a time frame in Scripture. Acts chapter 2 is a timing. It's an event where the Lord is about to let the world know that there's a change in the gospel coming. For example, like I said, when Jesus was born into the world, that was an event that said, the change is here. The old is passing away. The new has come. When the Holy Ghost came, it was time to tell the world again, we're no longer going to live following just a man here. We're of the flesh. We're going to live by having Christ in you. And that's the Holy Ghost is the work of God where he fills you with himself and you become witnesses of him. It's really the revelation of the inward. That's what it is. Like I ask, how many of you have a new man living in you? You do? Who is that? Who is it? Jesus. Who else is it? The Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit. Isn't it? So, where did this Holy Spirit start? Where did it start? We know it started in heaven. But in the earth, where did it start? When God breathed the breath of life into Adam, what do you think he breathed into him? Wasn't it his spirit? Now, let me ask you something. Was that just so he could be a living soul? Or was that putting all of the story of God in him, and now God had access to man in the earth? See, God put his spirit in Adam so that God could now communicate with Adam. Without the spirit, how are you going to understand God? So, is there a journey now? Because remember, once God put all of the story in him, Micah, there was also access of evil that could come into him, that had access to him. So the story of Adam was through the Old Testament. But when you come to the Jesus, the Christ, all of a sudden, that work of the Spirit becomes new. Now, interesting enough to me, turn over to Isaiah 63, and I think it's in verse 8. How many of you remember David's prayer when he sinned against God with Bathsheba? Did he say, take not your Holy Spirit from me? Wait, what? David had the Holy Ghost? Jesus said he had it. But in Isaiah, notice this. God is talking. And the he there in this first verse is God. For he said, surely they are my people, children that will not lie. So he was their savior. In all their affliction, he was afflicted. And the angel of his presence saved them. Now he's talking about, you know, bringing Israel out of Egypt and guiding them through the wilderness. Notice what he's calling this angel, the angel of his presence. What is that new man in you again? The angel of his presence? What is this Holy Ghost? Is it the angel of his presence? What is the breath of life that God breathed into Adam? Wasn't it the angel of his presence? Now, what led Israel? The angel of his presence. Now notice, it goes on to say, in his love and in his pity, he redeemed them. Did I say that right? Pity? Pity. In his pity, he redeemed them. And he bare them and carried them all the days of old. But they rebelled and vexed, what? His Holy Spirit. Therefore, he was turned to be their enemy, and he fought against them. And now he's telling us what happens when you vex the Holy Spirit that he put in you. You say, well, Israel didn't have the Spirit of God. Oh, yeah, they did. Because God did more than just make Adam a living soul. That was him in Adam. So every generation that produced from Adam still had God in them. And God still visited man, didn't he? People. Notice when I say man, I am referring to man and woman. Sons and daughters. They're just all in the wording. But in the idea here, they vexed the Holy Spirit and God became their enemy. That's bad. Let's keep reading. Therefore, he was turned to their enemy and fought against them. Verse 11, then he remembered the days of old, Moses and his people, saying, where is he that brought them up out of the sea with the shepherd of his flock? Where is he that put his Holy Spirit within him? Wait a second. Who said Israel, the Son of God, did not have the Holy Spirit? Who said that? Anybody? See, in our minds, we are thinking that the Holy Ghost is something else, something other. And in the measurement, it is. In the progression, it is. But I do not want you to think that you don't have the Spirit of God in you that can understand all things. Because in the Old Testament, Marty, God said, he told them, when even Keith, when they went to make the garment, the priestly garments, you know what God showed up and said? He said, you put these people in charge because I'm going to fill them with my Spirit. And I'm going to fill them with my wisdom. And I'm going to show them how to do it. Now imagine that. What do you think happened with Moses when God led him to lead the children of Israel? You think he was just a guy outside of the Spirit of God? No. He was a man filled with God and had the Spirit of God. David comes along, the man talked about, he saw the resurrection of Jesus. Not only that, he saw him on the cross. He saw his the friend of Judas betray the Lord. He saw it all. And Jesus said, this man David spoke from the Holy Ghost. That's awesome. So did Peter testify of that same thing about him. So all we have here is, in the earth, there was a timing that had to take place. In the Old Testament, Jesus hadn't come yet. So the Spirit was with measure, wasn't it? It was with measure. So sin and death still worked. This is how people fall into sin and death, because the Spirit is still in measure. Jesus comes along and says, we're about to change the whole thing. Now I'm here and I'm going to sow, I'm going to breathe the Holy Ghost on you, as an example, his disciples. And I'm going to teach you that my words are spirit and life. Now listen to what I just said. My words are spirit and life. So what would bring you to the full experience of the Holy Ghost? What would bring you to it? Receiving his word. And Keith, doesn't it say in Romans 10, it says that, you know, we're don't ask the Lord to come down again and die again. His word is nigh thee, even in your mouth and in your heart. His word is there. What is that word? Is it not the Spirit of God? My words are spirit and life. Now, what if I said it this way? My word, Micah, is the Holy Ghost and resurrection. Would I be changing the Bible? Would I be? No. My word is the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, and the resurrection, because that's what resurrection is. So he says, my word is the Holy Ghost. My word is the resurrection. My word is in your heart. And now, when the Holy Ghost came, what was poured out? Well, the Spirit of the Holy Ghost infilled them, and they began to speak in tongues. Now, my question is, we have a Bible full of people that before that time spoke in tongues. I need to teach on that tongues thing, don't I? I need to get to that. And so, therefore, I will. But therefore, when you're thinking about, I need to get to the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Listen, once again, the outpouring of the Holy Ghost was a signal to the world that Christ had ascended and now he's in you now. That was the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. It was Acts chapter 1, he says that he met with the disciples after he resurrected, and he's telling his disciples, go tarry in Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high. I will give you power to become witnesses. Witnesses of what? Of the resurrection. See, the fullness of the Holy Ghost always testifies of resurrection. Always. You know why? Because the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost knows that Jesus is no longer just a man. He's within me now. That's why Peter's gospel changed that day. Because the day of Pentecost represented a change in not only timing, but a change in how God was going to present the gospel now. When Jesus was there, didn't it say that in the fullness of time? Tim, didn't it say that in the fullness of time that God would bring forth a son born under the law? Did he do that? Was there a need to bring Jesus to the earth as a man? But people struggled seeing that the Spirit of God was in them, didn't they? Have you ever come here to church and struggled seeing that the Spirit of God was in you and all you clung to was everything we said to you? And sometimes you still do, don't you? But you know what? It's needful. Just like Jesus came and was needful, and the apostles went out into all the world and preached, it was needful to have people in the earth that could preach the gospel. But how many times have I told you, I don't want you to stay at that place. I want you to be filled again with another measure of the Spirit. And this is important because Brian and I were talking on the phone after I sent him the teaching from Monday night, because I do like to make sure the elders that are not online hear what I teach and also impart their thoughts to me on it. So to have faithful witnesses. And one thing he said, it was good because I did not bring this out, you know, thinking that sometimes we don't say what we're thinking, but it was there. But nonetheless, he made the comment, I'm going to refer to him on this, is very good, as he said, it's not that in many infillings that you lose something, like, oh, I drained everything I've got, I need another infilling today. Oh, I used everything up of God, I better get another refill. That's not the way that works. Another infilling is adding to what you already have. Yeah, how can you use up God? How can you say, oh yeah, I used up everything you gave me last week, so give me some more. No, you're filled with repentance. What, did you stop repenting and now you need to be filled with the Holy Ghost, but repentance, I use that all up. No, you're still in the baptism of repentance. You're still in the baptism in the name of Jesus, and you're still in the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and God just keeps adding and adding and adding. No wonder his mercies are new every morning. Every morning. You know why? Every morning's a new day to be filled with the love of God and the mercy of God. Something else God wants to show us. What is it today? Well, the Holy Ghost is that measure where we realize I am now, my gospel has changed. Now, what's interesting is, let's talk about the day of Holy Ghost for a second, the day of Pentecost. I could go through and read it, but you do that. Acts chapter 2, okay? But Acts chapter 2, as the nations gathered around, all these nations were listed. And they said, each one of them looked, a representation of each nation was there. Now, why were all those nations there? Why do you think? Well, first of all, just a little side note, I'm going to throw it out there. I'll get back to it later. Remember the Tower of Babel? When everybody had one language? And God, because in their own works, they tried to build a tower to get to God? And God said, no, 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 no. He divided the tongues, didn't he? And he changed the nations and divided the nations. And now everything's divided and they're warring against each other. And he made Israel and said, this will be my nation. Okay? Day of Pentecost brought those nations back together and said, now let me restore the language back to the people in the earth as one language again. But now it's through my spirit. Is that not awesome? He's like, let me gather these nations back. I haven't forgot about them. And each one of those nations started saying, how are we hearing this in our own tongue from where we were born? The wonderful works of God. Isn't that something? Now, we were just joking around, Marty and John and I, and we were talking about, you know that old saying, you're my brother from another mother? No. We're brothers from the same mother, man. Come on. Same father, same mother. We're of one family. That's what God was doing on Acts chapter 2. Is he was giving the nations a language. One language of God where we all speak the same tongue. The Holy Ghost. And so when the gathering comes in, what do you think happens to Ann and Naomi and Don and Michelle and Claudette and Christy and Connie? What do you think happens? Does God start bringing in and say, yeah, this is not in its fullness yet, but is the Holy Ghost there? Is the measure of the Holy Ghost now imparted and the tongue came forth and said, well, I tell you what, I will speak of the wonderful works of God on whatever level that is. So all of a sudden you start identifying with characters in the Bible. Let me say this part. It's very important that I do too. How many of you have noticed there's prophecies that have gone to some of the ladies about being an individual in the Bible? Let me say this one thing to everybody about this. Ladies, do not get stuck in one character. There's more. Why not experience every character? But until God shows you something else, jump all in and be filled with who that anointing is. For example, if we're surrounded by a cloud of witnesses, well, is Mary in part of that witness? Yeah. Is Ruth part of that witness? Is Deborah part of that witness? Is Esther part of that witness? The list goes on and on, right? But in that Holy Spirit, I can partake of any one of those witnesses. So John and Paul and Peter and Moses and Abraham, all of them are part of that Holy Spirit in me. Why do you think now when I speak in tongues, I can speak according to all these witnesses and their life and their parable? In that, you see what I'm saying? Like, isn't that the tongue of God? But right now, what if you can only speak of certain things? Man, I don't care if it sounds like a child to somebody else. When I hear the language of God coming forth out of a person in a testimony, my ears perk up and I go, ooh, there's some tongues coming forth. There's some Holy Ghost working right there. There's the Spirit of God working right there. But what happens is the timing of the Holy Ghost was a benchmark for us to acknowledge that Jesus had resurrected and now it's time to live with Jesus in me, not outside of me. So for us today, physically speaking now, how would that work for us, okay? Well, all of it's going to work within us first. But then what about the day? Okay, let me use Ann as an example again. Ann, I used you. You testified of this already, so I don't have to bring you up to testify again, but I'll have you acknowledge with me. Matter of fact, who's got the microphone? Maybe just walk it to Ann, just if you want to join in with me just for a moment, Ann. Ann tells me that a few weeks before going to Boise, during the preaching, the Lord spoke to her. Remember that? What'd he say, Ann?
My sheep hear my voice.
My sheep hear my voice. They won't follow another. Now, hold on. Okay, everybody knows that. No, they don't. But she didn't know it. Did you know it before that, Ann? No, I mean, you knew it in knowledge. But that day, you knew it.
It was spoken to me. I heard that.
The Spirit spoke it and woke it up. She gets to Boise. She's been meditating on this. The Spirit's moving. And then Christy reads one scripture. Well, there's probably more to it than that. But just as a reference, read scripture. I'll heal your land. What happened, Ann?
I heard that. That was, the Lord told me that's what you're here to hear.
That's what my sheep hear my voice. Did she hear it? The thing that healed her? So she comes back and she starts testifying about what God did in her life. And Micah said earlier, the whole tongue, the language changed. And I'll be honest with you. Ann's been quiet, and it makes sense because there's a lot going on, right, Ann? But we've been talking. I'm going to tell you something. I've noticed a pattern with you, Ann, and I told you this already. You are easily provoked by the Spirit. I mean, if Rick's spirit's not in her, I don't know. It's so similar to me, it blows my mind. And Brian was even joking with me the other day. And remember back at Keith's house when the guys were over there talking and we were doing our thing? Christy and Brian were laughing because Ann spoke up and said, all right, Christy, get this show on the road. Let's get going. And we're like, that is Rick. Hallelujah. Point is, the same Spirit of God is working to provoke these things. And see, what's happening is, don't judge by the flesh. Allow the Spirit of God to continue. This is the working of God bringing us into what is inward. The Spirit of God is now being made known to us. And yes, do you have the Spirit of God in you? Yes. Is there another measure that's coming greater? Yes. Get yourself ready. Because the Lord wants to fill you with the fullness of it. And that's important. Your tongues may be young. They may speak like a child. You may say, Nancy, I was listening to something again. You got up here a few weeks back, and all you said was, God showed me that he loved me. And we go, I knew that. I know that God loves me. No, no. See, there was a tongue that changed in you that day when that happened to you. Tell me that wasn't God through the Holy Ghost doing that. Now, doesn't Mark 16 say that these signs shall follow them that believe? What's the first thing he said they'll do? Speak with a new tongue. How can you be a believer without the Holy Spirit? How can you?
You can't call him Lord, but by the Spirit.
You cannot call him Lord, but by the Spirit. So how can you even confess Jesus if the Spirit of God is not there doing it? You can't. So what do we have here today? We know John the Baptist spoke. Thank you, Ann. We have John the Baptist that was filled with the Holy Ghost, Zacharias, his father, his mother, Elizabeth, and Mary, Simeon, all them, I mentioned them in the New Testament, all spoke by the Holy Ghost when Jesus was either before he was born or right after he was born. How's that possible? Well, the Holy Ghost was not yet given. No, the timing of the revelation of the inward was not given yet. See, every consistent pattern about anybody that talks in the Holy Ghost on that level has seen the glorified Christ. John knew he was glorified bread. Mary knew he was glorified. In other words, they didn't just see him as a man. So here's my question. Are you ready, not just by knowledge, but are you ready to have Christ revealed in all his glory to you? When that happens to you, we're talking about the Holy Ghost now. We're talking about what is filling you and bringing you to a greater revelation in the Spirit that you've never even touched before. And your life goes from thinking about just things in the flesh to living a life in the Spirit. Isn't that what we're after here? Now let's stop right there. I'm just going to back it down now. We'll get to more later.